50 anyway. Thank you for inviting me. So I see the sun has come out and the first person does not come, so I probably will use up the time because my presentation is so interesting. So my talk is a little bit close related to the last one of yesterday, which is vulnerability of the financial bank network. So it has some implication for policy. So it goes without saying that, you know, this is purely my view, not the view of my employer. So I'll talk about four sections: when motivation and basic model, and I'll give you some empirical evidence, and then I'll give you some conclusion. This is motivated by the recent experience that in the run up to financial crisis, and there was so much build up risk in the financial system, and has a massive leverage that taken on by financial institutions, especially the broker dealer sector in U.S. So it was therefore it's important to model the financial frustration and understand behaviors of financial institutions given what has happened. The related work include famous work by Bernanke, which basically says, is this song? Which basically says the negative shock to the economy will magnify if the financial system face constraint of market value of collateral. And also you have recent work by Shin from Princeton, which said, you know, he analyzed this issue, balance sheet issue, in a framework of VAR, which basically says that if financial institution make decision based on VAR, then your increase in equity will need to increase in leverage and asset. But since the financial institution is doing the maturity transformation, so therefore if the central bank reduce short-term interest rate, the forward-looking earning, the counting earning will increase their equity capacity, so on and so forth, therefore increase the risk and the lending. So in my project, I basically approach this issue from a portfolio optimization point of view, because it's really balance sheet is just really a bunch of portfolio. It's basically leveraged portfolio. So you would think that the same principle applied to portfolio optimization can be used to analyze the financial institutions' behaviors. So here we go. You just have on asset side, you have short-term and long-term asset. On liability side, you have short-term and long-term liability and equity. The long-term asset is basically is the lending of the bank, and long-term liability is just basically the deposit, which we will model deposit as constant. We'll be treating it as a one. So A and B are a short-term asset and short-term liability. And the deposit is D. The T is the reserve requirement, because you have to hold a certain reserve against your deposit. So the T and D are also given. T is set by the central bank reserve requirement, and then equity is E, and the lending is denoted by L. So you have the rate of return on lending is basically equilibrium rate for the credit market, and the rate of return on short-term asset is basically the equilibrium rate on the short-term asset market, where you can think of this short-term asset market as interbank market, where bank lend and borrow from each other. So basically, the short-term return is also equal to short-term funding cost. And in my basically model, I basically said the short-term asset return is basically the policy rate set by central bank plus the risk premium, credit risk premium. And we'll talk about cost of equity, how to derive cost of equity later. So the portfolio return balance sheet is basically averaged return weighted by different assets and minus average cost weighted by different funding sources. And you can define the risk in different ways. So So if you because the financial institution normally face different risks, most prominent risks are such as market risk, liquidity risk, or solvency risk. So if you define the risk as a market risk, then you would think that risk is the variance of net value of their the risk of variance of market value for their net asset. But in this setting, I basically said risk is defined as liquidity risk. It's basically the difference between short-term liability and short-term asset multiplied by K, which is risk appetite. So you have different approaches to solve this optimization problem, of course. But basically, I did is a simple one, which I basically approached this from a utility curve point of view. It's basically for a given. So the delta I and delta I is given is the differential between long-term asset and long-term short-term asset. So delta I2 is differential between delta 2 is differential between deposit rate and short-term funding cost. So for a given so this delta I are considered as term spread. So for a given term spread, the bank would like to maximize its long-term asset while maximize its short-term liability. Well, by doing that, you increase your liquidity risk. So therefore, you have to balance these two. So the bank's optimization problem is just basically chosen several variables Of course, the you can write short-term asset and short-term liability because short-term asset is just basically the total asset minus long-term asset minus reserve. And short-term liability is basically total asset minus deposit and long-term deposit and equity. So therefore, sigma is the inverse of capital ratio. So you can basically write short-term asset, short-term liability as a function of capital ratio, equity, and your long-term asset, which is lending. So you can basically do three first order condition with respect to those three, and especially the equation four gives the supply curve for the lending, because it will link the interest rate and the supply of lending. The demand of lending is very intuitive. You basically think that demand for a loan is basically in inverse relationship with interest rate. And then go back to check the cost of equity. So the value of equity is basically market value of net asset, which equal to market value of asset minus market value of equity. So short-term asset and liability is pretty much, but market value is just equal to book value. So you only need to derive the market value for long-term asset. In this case, it's market value for the lending. It composes three parts, which is a book value plus a market premium or discount, and which reflects on the future uncertainty. And the third part is what I call liquidity discount, because it's just the nature of this long-term asset. Because if you have a long-term asset, you just have to have a, if you consider a bank, if they have to liquidate this bank right away, you would not expect this bank can realize its full 100% market value of its long-term asset, because as long as you have liquidity exposure, you would have sometimes you have to sell portion of your long-term asset at whatever price you can get. So there is a fair sell discount, so you have a portion of your long-term asset which is in positive relationship with your short-term your liquidity exposure. So if you substitute short-term asset and liability by this loan and by LE, you will get that cost of equity is basically just a function of market premium or discount and difference between L and E because T and D is given. So it's basically cost of equity is basically the function of market premium or discount and credit minus equity. So you get three functions. You get three first order conditions which defines banks' behaviors. One of which is given rise to supply curve for lending, and you got demand curve for lending, and you got cost of equity. So you got five equations, and so the problem is to solve five unknowns. So three of them are balance sheet variables, which is that bank has to choose, or equity level, cost of capital ratio, and lending. Now you also have to solve. You can also solve the equilibrium level for interest rate and cost of equity. For those of you who are not familiar with economic shortcut to solving this equation, we normally do something called log linearization, which basically means that you transfer an equation of variables into an equation of, you transfer a system equation of variables into a system equation of log variance in its variables. By doing so, you can linearize your equation system. It's basically an approximation of first order Taylor expansion result. So without giving you too much detail, it's basically the goal is to solve the change in its five variables, and here is the result. So as you can see, the left hand side is that I didn't report the coefficient, but the left hand side is basically the variables that we want to solve. It's a change in these variables. So change in equity, change in the capital ratio, change in equity, in the interest rate, in lending, and in the risk exposure, so on and so forth. Of course, I'm not going to go through all of those relations, but basically, the fourth column is basically the impact of the P with hat is the central bank's policy rate. So the fourth column is basically illustration of how the central bank's policy rate impacts these five variables. So you can see that basically, if the central bank adjusts their policy rate, increase their policy rate, it will not only increase the if you look at the column fourth column, it will not only increase the interest rate, depress the lending, but also will lead to a higher capital in the system. Will also lead to a higher capital ratio and a lower risk exposure, liquidity risk exposure. So this is very consistent with what happened just in the financial system. So it basically says the monetary policy also has implications for financial stability, because if you keep dropping your interest rate, it basically just will lead to an increase in the risk exposure by the bank. So just with respect to that point, just give you some empirical evidence. So I selected some data from for past 10 years. So you can see that there are two lines. One is change in the federal fund rate, which is the policy rate, and the change in the liquidity measure for the banking industry as a whole. So this is the change in the federal fund change is in T1, year T1, but the change in liquidity measure is in T. So it's So you can see that perfectly that the federal fund rate is almost a good harbinger of what's going to happen for the liquidity measure for the bank, for the financial system. Except from 2003 to 2004, except in this year, all other years, the federal fund rate is a very good prediction of liquidity measure of the financial institutions. Then the same thing, if you change the liquidity measure to capital ratio, we'll see the same thing that the federal fund rate is almost a very good prediction of capital ratio of the financial institutions in the U.S. So here is some of the evidence provided by Xin. And they basically investigated the past, I think it's past 30 years, where you can see the correlation between the federal fund rate and the lending by the financial institution. And also this is what happened for like six major broker dealer in the U.S. So you can see that pretty much every one of them is actively managing their balance sheet. They increase their, because they increase lending by increasing their leverage, which means that they increase lending. Meanwhile, now you increase lending by raising more capital, but they're just increasing lending by increasing liability, which is consistent with what predicted here, because you see here that, for instance, you look at the column, the fourth column, you see that the risk exposure and the risk exposure and the lending is pretty much in opposite direction. So the final part is the some of the policy considerations. So we know that the impact of the monetary policy, but we also want to know, you know, because with all this Basel III capital requirement going on, so this can be also analyzed for that implication. Because if you want to consider Basel III capital requirement, what you do in this model is basically treat capital ratio as a constant, and you drop the first order condition with capital ratio out of the system, and then you get to four equations and get four unknowns, and then you get then the solution become like this. And then you just have the capital ratio on that side, and for all other variables, the relationship is still the same. But here are some two points I want to mention. The first thing is the capital ratio has a, if you look at the Nasdaq column, it has the same impact on this variable as the central bank policy rate has on this variable. So which means that if you raise the capital ratio, it's pretty much the same thing. It's pretty much equivalent to say that you increase your interest rate. It's pretty much equivalent to say central bank is increasing the interest rate. If you raise your capital ratio, it's pretty much to say that central bank is reducing their interest rate. So of course I didn't report the coefficient here, but its magnitude may differ. So therefore I conclude from that analysis that, you know, the rigid capital rule which proposed by Basel III will basically weaken the impact of monetary easing, I think, monetary ease, and magnify the impact of monetary tightening. So the conclusion is that, you know, the broker dealer, especially for broker dealer which is market based, may adjust in their balance sheet, and the portfolio optimization problem can be very well applied to the principle by which they adjust their balance sheet, and therefore the policy, whatever policy you have in place, can be analyzed in a coherent way. So this is my conclusion. And if, unless you have any other questions, I'd like to thank you all for listening.
Thank you.
I have to get back to you on that because I never thought about that. I agree. That's the next step we're trying to do. What regulation? I'm sorry. Honestly, I didn't thought about that, and I don't know the details of living will regulation.
It's liquidity,
so oh yeah.
I'm saying that's
yes. So that's right. If you control your liquidity, that pretty much changed the whole thing because here the risk measure is basically considered the liquidity. So if the financial institutions, that's one of the things I want to mention because you really, I think it's the right thing to control and to regulate to a certain extent liquidity. Because you can always, so if you have a capital, if you have a capital requirement, you can always increase your short-term, short-term liability in your portfolio, in your balance sheet, to still get the same return. That still give you that still make you meet the capital requirement. But that in that case the bank will sharply increase your liquidity exposure. So therefore I agree with you that if you leave the liquidity exposure unregulated, it may be the what's gonna happen after the capital requirement is basically the sharp increase in liquidity position. So I pretty much agree with a regulator on this point. Thank you.